Do you struggle to reach out to friends or family members who have questions about Christianity? Well, we have just the resource for you. It's a new book titled What They Need to Hear, Sharing Christ with Family and Friends. It's written by regular guest Pastor Clement Preuss. What They Need to Hear is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. What They Need to Hear, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June.
If I were making up a story, all the good people in the story would be nice plastic saints. They would be role models for us to follow. That's the way we all want them to be, but it's not the way they were.
You have to state who God is and what He does in particular to save us, to strengthen us in the faith, to keep us rooted and grounded to Him. And when you state those things, that's true praise.
The entire liturgy, you've got something that is absolute gold for us people that are just worn out. And what do you do with it? You hide it.
My name is Mike. I'm a fan of Law and Order. I'm a believer in Law and Gospel. And I love Issues Etc.
There are dates in history that stand out for Lutherans. Often the one that stands out is the 31st of October, where Luther is said to have taken the 95 Theses that he had been working on as a theologian and a philosopher, where he took them and he posted them at the church door in Wittenberg. And that's a great storybook beginning to the Reformation, but it really is just a beginning. The Reformation was at that point, even Luther himself was at that point, hardly begun in his understanding of the gospel and its centrality. But by the time you get to the presentation of the Augsburg Confession, just a few years later, you find the Reformation well underway and actually going down with words on a page that don't simply ask questions or call for debate, but actually confess the faith. And the first of those, at least the first formal one of those, is called the Augsburg Confession. On this day, so long ago during the Reformation, the Augsburg Confession was presented. What does that mean? We'll answer that question here in the course of this hour of Issues Etc. Pastor Herb Miller joins us, First Vice President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. and thanks for tuning us in live this Tuesday afternoon, the 25th of June. A little bit later, Elizabeth Graham will join us of Texas Right to Life. We'll talk about a bill banning late-term abortions in Texas. And then Sharif Girgis will join us. He's a PhD student in philosophy at Princeton University. We're going to talk about two same-sex marriage cases before the U.S. Supreme Court. He's co-author of a new book, What is Marriage? Man and Woman, a Defense. Both the DOMA case and the Prop 8 case will be announced tomorrow by the U.S. Supreme Court. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Talkback at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address and our Twitter address at issuesetc. Pastor Herb Miller is First Vice President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Herb, welcome back.
Yeah, good afternoon, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing well. What is the genius of the Augsburg Confession, this document that we're going to be talking about presented this day at the time of the Reformation?
No, the real genius of this document and its real heart and core is that in very clear and unambiguous terms, the confessors intended to show how the gospel, the good news of justification by grace for Christ's sake, received through faith alone, how that is the heart of every major teaching of the church, of Scripture, and it demonstrates how Lutheran teaching basically seeks to bring the greatest comfort, the greatest possible comfort of God's Word centered in Christ to hurting and broken people, that is, to penitent sinners.
Is this what sets this day apart from October 31st in terms of kind of the real Reformation? While the 95 Theses were certainly important, Luther at the time really doesn't get that the gospel permeates everything, does he?
Yeah, there's I mean, there's debate amongst Luther scholars as to when did Luther really get it as far as seeing the centrality of justification by grace for Christ's sake through faith alone. I believe it was later, probably December 1518, maybe January 1519, somewhere in that time frame. There's other scholars who believe it's sooner, but they often don't fully understand it themselves. If you truly understand the doctrine of justification as it's laid out in the Augsburg Confession, Luther himself says it took place in the winter of 1518-1519. And so in 1517, yeah, the Reformation is, if you had to pick a date as to when it started, that's as good a date as any. But to pick a date when the Lutheran Reformation was really solidified and there was an identifiable confession of faith that's laid down June 25th, 1530, 483 years ago today, is the day to pick.
So it's 13 years after the fire gets started with the 95 Theses. In those 13 years, it goes from just being one guy to being kind of all of Germany is thinking about the gospel. How do we come to the to this diet, this hearing before the emperor, where these princes stand before with the Augsburg Confession?
Well, that's quite a convoluted history over the course of 13 years. A lot is happening. But basically, in 1530, you have, throughout the most of the 1520s, Lutheran princes were, or you know, various princes and city councils were coming to establish the Reformation in their lands, and were becoming convinced by God's word that this teaching with the center in justification by grace for Christ's sake through faith alone, that that's the center. That has been growing and growing throughout various parts of Germany. Luther and Melanchthon and Bugenhagen and others go different places to help different princes reform the church in their lands. All this while the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V is distracted elsewhere. It's a lot more complicated than that, but that's basically it. Now, in 1529, I believe, the Turk is at the gates of Vienna, which is on the eastern edge of Charles V's dominions, and he himself is a devout Roman Catholic. He wants to defend the church, but more than that, he wants to unite his lands to face this common enemy that's at the gates, literally, in Vienna. And so he calls a meeting in Augsburg, Germany, in which he invites the princes who have been establishing Lutheran teaching to explain themselves. And so there's a number of preliminary meetings in a place called Torgau and another place called Schwabach. There's various preliminary documents prepared there. But then when Melanchthon and some of the other theologians get to Augsburg, and by the way, Luther can't go because he's under the imperial ban. He could, if he left his native Saxony, he could be shot on sight legally in anywhere else in the empire. Anyway, so they get to Augsburg and discover that Johann Eck, who is staunch a supporter of the Pope, has printed a document called 404 Articles, in which he basically accused the Lutherans of just about every heresy known to man. And so they decided they needed to not only confess the true doctrine, but also defend themselves against various heresies. And they did so in a document that is at the same time irenic in the sense that it's not intended to be a firebrand type document, but peaceful, yet confess clearly and unambiguously the true gospel, and indicate also that the teachings that the Lutherans were expounding were not something new, but were actually the teachings of the true teachings of the church from the very beginning. So there are references to church fathers, but all of it is designed to demonstrate the centrality of the gospel and how one is to confess it clearly, and how Lutheran teaching is designed to bring the greatest comfort to the penitent sinner.
We got about 2 minutes before our first break here, Herb. The other thing they're doing in the Augsburg Confession is kind of doing the paperwork for a general council. They would like to see the emperor and, as they call him, the most supreme pontiff, the pope, consent together to hold a general council of the church. What's their plan here with about 2 minutes?
Well, their plan, again, was to demonstrate that what Luther and his colleagues were doing was bringing the church back to Scripture and back to the confession of the gospel that had been part of the church's life from the very beginning. They're showing, you know, we are not doing anything new, but actually many of the corruptions that had arisen in the church, both corruptions of practice and corruptions of teaching, were just that, corruptions of Scripture and of what the church had always taught. And so they wanted to demonstrate that clearly and fully in preparation for that council, because they were utterly convinced that the Word of God itself has the power to convince. That's what they wanted to lay out in this confession.
Pastor Herb Miller is our guest. We're talking about the presentation of the Augsburg Confession on this Tuesday, June the 25th. He's first vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the Augsburg Confession, about the centrality of that doctrine of justification. And he had mentioned just a moment ago how ironic, how peaceful and peacemaking the document is. It certainly is. It almost sounds naive at times, given the rest of the history. We'll be right back. Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler? Would you like to learn more about teaching students the essentials of biblical interpretation, law and gospel, or worldviews from a Lutheran perspective? Come join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 16th through the 18th at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, visit ccle.org. That's ccle.org.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Lord has gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. These gifts can be received every week at both Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Join us for divine services at Grace on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., as well as every Wednesday at 11 a.m., or at Trinity every Sunday at 11 a.m. Grace is located at 3310 East Pawnee and Trinity at 611 South Erie. Gather with us around our Lord and His giving His gifts to us. See you soon.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. IssuesETC.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Herb Miller is our guest, first vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking about the presentation of the Augsburg Confession. You said something before the break, Herb, that they had been wanting to have this council. They were eager to defend their teaching and to say, look, we're really teaching nothing different than the ancient church, than the scriptures themselves teach. They almost seem, and I don't know if it's true, maybe they're just writing this way because they don't want to be seen as belligerent. But they almost seem naive about this. It's, you know, who would not believe that what we're teaching here is the truth?
Well, I think two things. One, they did recognize the danger coming from the Turk invading Europe at the gates of Vienna. That was on everybody's mind and lips. But I think even more than that, the reason for their Irenic presentation is that they really hoped to convince the Emperor Charles of the rightness of their teaching and their cause. They really hoped to convince him because they were confident in the power of the Word of God to do so. And, of course, Charles V was not convinced, but there were many others who heard who were convinced.
So they make this presentation. Are their lives in danger doing this? You mentioned Luther's life is already in danger. That's why he's not there. Are the princes' lives in danger for doing this?
Oh, very much so. They had been assured by the emperor that they could come to Augsburg safely. Again, the emperor, he wants their help to fend off the Turk. So he's not going to, deliberately antagonize them. In any case, there's an interesting story where around this time, I don't remember the exact date, I think it's a couple of days ago, there's the Corpus Christi Festival, and or maybe it's even today, but Charles was insisting that the Lutheran princes attend the Corpus Christi Festival with the emperor. It is said that George, the Margrave of Brandenburg, one of the princes, spoke boldly for the Lutherans, refusing to concede to Charles' demands. And he said, "Before I let anyone take from me the word of God and ask me to deny my God, I will kneel and let them strike off my head." And the emperor is kind of put off by that and in broken German says to him, "No, not cut off head, not cut off head." You know, so yeah, there were dangers, and let's see, after Luther died, the emperor actually came and made war on the Lutherans, defeating them in 1547, and so there were, you know, many of the men who were there did ultimately die for the faith.
There's this common thread in the content of the Augsburg Confession that you mentioned at the outset of our conversation, that the doctrine of justification by grace, that a man is declared righteous before God solely by grace for Christ's sake alone through faith, begins to permeate everything. They start seeing problems that they didn't see before in things like the Roman Catholic teaching on the Mass and all of that, because they're starting to see the church through the lens of justification. Talk about that.
Yeah, thank you. The illustration I like to use is of a bicycle wheel. If you have imagine a bicycle wheel, you've got a number of different parts. You've got a rim, you've got spokes, and you've got a central axle. There might be a couple of spokes that could be missing, but if that central axle is missing, it's not a bicycle wheel. It doesn't work. It doesn't turn. So the doctrine of justification by God's grace for Christ's sake through faith, or the forgiveness of sins, is the axle, the hub, the center that holds it together and around which everything turns in our theology. For instance, when we talk about the first article, God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we see the Trinity as the name of God applied to us in our baptism. There is nothing more sure than that. The second article of the Confession is on original sin. It demonstrates how it demonstrates the real problem of sin, that sin is not just a weakness, but sin leads to death. And we don't need a helper, we need a savior, we need someone to rescue us. Article 3 is on the Son of God, demonstrating that Jesus is fully God and fully human, united in one person so inseparably that there is one Christ who suffered, died, and rose again for us. And if we lose any part of his humanity, if we lose any part of his divinity, we lose the comfort that comes because the one who suffered and died for us is God in human flesh. Then the fourth article is the one we're repeating on justification by grace for Christ's sake through faith. And then it goes on to show how that's the center as well of the Lutheran teaching on how God works and how God brings people to faith in the gospel and the sacraments, which need a ministry, which need proclaimers, which need pastors to bring it to people so that God can give this faith. Then it talks about good works. God doesn't need our good works because Christ has done everything, but our neighbor needs our good works. Article 7 on the church defines the church as the assembly of all believers and not the outward structure of the Roman hierarchy or any other hierarchy for that matter. But the church, as it's described in Scripture, is the assembly of all believers. Lutherans see the church from the perspective of the end in Revelation chapter 7, where there's gathered before the throne a people from every tribe and nation and language and tongue, and they're all in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and they're saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And we get to be there, and it begins now through faith in Jesus Christ. And then in that chapter, a little bit later, John is asked, "Who are these and whence have they come?" These are the ones, and he's told, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." See how the forgiveness of sins and justification is at the heart of what the church is. In the Apostles' Creed, when we say, "I believe in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints," what's the very next thing? The forgiveness of sins. The only way there can be a communion of saints is because of the forgiveness of sins. We get to baptism and the Lord's Supper, for instance. The Catholic teaching at the time of Luther made it seem as though if you just go through the motion and go through the action, something good was going to happen, and it didn't require faith. The opposite side, the Schwärmer or Anabaptists, would say that, no, these are ordinances. They're laws that we are to fulfill, to baptize and to celebrate the Lord's Supper, to show our unity. Well, Lutherans, on the basis of Scripture, insist that the heart and core of both baptism and communion is the forgiveness of sins. The doctrine of justification by grace for Christ's sake through faith, those are ways God has of bringing to us the benefits of Christ's death and resurrection. And then other articles follow on, confession, repentance, the use of the sacraments, order in the church, church ceremonies. The concern is always, again, to make sure that this is clear, the center around which everything else turns, the thing that holds it all together, is the forgiveness of sins for the sake of Christ, that we are declared righteous by grace for Christ's sake through faith.
Herb, we only have about 1 minute. You say that these teachings in the Augsburg Confession are not only meant for comfort, as you have just so well emphasized, but they beg to be confessed and proclaimed to the world. You say it is the beating gospel heart of Christ's mission through his church. With a minute, what do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is that this is such good news. anybody who has been caught up in legalism, caught up in works righteousness, begins to hear this and say, why are you guys keeping this to yourself? This is the best news ever. And it demonstrates the fact that there's that we are called simply to be faithful at lifting up Christ and what Christ has done, and that is Christ's mission through his church. Because after all, we are his body. He's the head, we're the body, and he brings his benefits to many more through us, not through what we do, but through the word we proclaim.
Pastor Herb Miller is first vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You can read a blog post that he's written about the presentation of the Augsburg Confession under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Herb, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
He talks about it being the confession and the mission. The two are not opposed to one another. To confess is to confess to the world, to proclaim Christ. That's the subject of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, What They Need to Hear by Pastor Clement Preuss. Find out more about that confession as you live it out in your vocation in this book. Call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. When we come back, we're going to talk about a late-term abortion bill in Texas. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. Redeemer Lutheran, Caca-Beca Falls, Ontario, Canada. St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Thank you, Todd, and thanks for everything you do.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the value of Issues Etc.
You've done so much to teach so many people about the depth of the gospel and to find joy in the Christian life and experience.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, Issues Etc. Listen to what you want, when you want, at issuesetc.org.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Supporting families supports life.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
People in industrialized nations are having far fewer children than in the past. David Brooks of the New York Times writes about this alarming demographic trend and its relationship to the idea of family. Amid numerous choices in the modern age, choosing to have children and cherish life is losing out. He notes, the surest way people bind themselves is through the family. As a practical matter, the traditional family is an effective way to induce people to care about others, become active in their communities, and devote themselves to the long-term future of their nation and their kind.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.